I'd like to welcome our visitors today. We have Southern California very well represented. We have San Diego, the San Bernardino area, Temecula. We have Alabama represented, and I'm sure there's some people that I didn't get a chance to meet. We are very glad that you're here to worship God with us, and please consider yourself our honored guest, and we'd like to welcome you back whenever you get a chance. Stacy and I enjoy, especially Stacy, but we enjoy a lot of the murder mystery shows and some of those CSI and the real life crime dramas and so forth, and the autopsy type shows. And we're going to talk today about Christian autopsies. Some of those shows are fascinating, the things that they can find out about a person that has maybe been murdered or has passed away or whatever. And they can, everything from IDing them to finding out underlying health issues that they had. I remember when my parents had died, the autopsies on them revealing some things that we knew, but also revealing some things that we didn't know. Now, we have a number of people in the audience that are either in the medical profession, the funeral home business. So if I say something that might be a little wrong, just back me up, okay? Because I'm going solely on TV. I'm not an expert. I'm not a coroner. But like they say on TV, I have stayed at Holiday Inns before, so I don't know if that helps. But we're going to look at, and I don't want it to be a flippant attitude about it. I don't mean it to be humorous or off color or anything, but because it is kind of a serious topic. But I don't want it to be morbid either. One of the first things that the coroner does is try to identify a body. If there has been a murder, sometimes it's as easy as looking in a person's wallet if they've got one. But some of those cases out in the real world, they have to do things like dental records, medical records, all sorts of things, witnesses and so forth. Well, for a Christian autopsy, identification is one of the things that's going to be performed on us. And the scary thing about this is we're all going to go through this. Unless the Lord comes back while we're still breathing, we're all going to die. And as the scripture reading said today, we will all stand before the judgment seat. Amen. And the examination on the judgment day is going to be much more severe than in a coroner's office. And one of the things that is going to take place is an identification to see who and if that person is a Christian or not. Jesus addressed this issue in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." There's going to be a lot of people, especially on Judgment Day, that are going to be crying out, "Lord, Lord," Don't you know me, Lord? Don't you remember me? I used to go to church when I was little. Or I used to bring the family to church. Don't you know me, God? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The Lord himself on that day will say, depart from me, I never knew you. But didn't I do churchy things? Didn't I do religious things? I even woke up early sometimes and drugged myself to Bible study. I helped clean up after potlucks. We have a finger food tonight after fellowship. We're doing mostly a singing tonight with a short lesson afterwards, mostly singing and finger foods. So plan on staying after tonight. I even came to the finger food fellowship. I helped stock the refrigerator with water. Jesus, I did all sorts of things in your name. He says, depart from me. I never knew you. I don't know who you are. Galatians 4:9, the Apostle Paul addresses the same issue. He says, but now after you have known God, or the big issue, or rather are known by God. Amen. That's the key. A lot of people know who God is, are aware of God. The question is, and I say this kind of stupid, like God doesn't know you, but you have to be known by God. A lot of people, a lot more people are aware of God than God is aware of you in the kingdom. Not you individually, but people. Identification. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 10:32-33, that he that confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father. That's a confession I want him to make. I want Jesus to tell his Father on that day, he's one of ours. John 8:31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You will be identified. You will be recognized as my disciples. One of the things that is done in an autopsy is identification, to know who it is. Another is cause of death. They need to know when a coroner lists the cause of death, was it gunshot wound? Was it car accident? Was it a disease? Whatever. Christian autopsy. On that day, when we're examined, will any Christians be declared the cause of death? Malnutrition of God's word. Malnutrition. I like to eat. That's no mistake. Okay, I like to eat. I don't pass up a lot of meals. do I study God's word as regularly? And do I hunger and thirst for the word as much as I do food? Matthew 4, verses 3 and 4 says, "Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" From every word. Jesus said this to the devil. When the devil was tempting him after he was baptized and in the wilderness, without food, going without food, and the devil says, "If you're the Son of God, why don't you just command these stones to become bread?" Jesus responded with Scripture and says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." We've got the Bible that's been preserved for us all of these years, that we can read it as fresh and as new as it was the day it was written. And it doesn't get stale. It doesn't have an expiration date. We went through our fridge the other day. I was actually scared at how long we'd kept some of those things expired a couple weeks ago. Sad thing is I'd been eating on them. Anyway, we cleaned a bunch of stuff out. God's word does not expire, ever. In Hosea 4, verse 6, he laments, he says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Destroyed for lack of knowledge of God's word. 2 Timothy, I hope you're to where you can almost quote this, because we use this passage quite often. All Scripture, not here and there, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God breathed from God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It makes us who we are. We never want to face a cause of death, malnutrition of God's word. Not as Christians. Will we be diagnosed with heart problems as Christians? Heart problems, too much hatred in our heart, too much envy, jealousy of each other, of the world. Why can't we be like them? The Israelites faced the same thing. They wanted to be like the nations around them. Why can't we have a king? Are we going to be diagnosed with heart problems? Matthew 5:8, Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." That's a goal for us, is to be pure in heart. 1 Peter 1:22, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." The Apostle Peter gives us sound words there. To love each other with a pure heart. Not an envious heart. Not a love them for what it can get you. But to love them with a pure heart. I don't know if you can see the difference here. the injuries, the old wounds are coming back to haunt me now. I got things that go in different directions, from injuries and breaks and things that creak and make noise that should not be making the noises that they do. Any of us going to be examined and found a deformed index finger from pointing out the faults in everybody else? You overuse something, that sometimes it can get deformed. Are any of us ever going to be examined and diagnosed with a deformed index finger? Isn't it easy to find, if you're looking for the fault in somebody, I promise you'll find it. I promise you, if you're looking, you will find it. Matthew 7, Jesus says, "Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Jesus hit it right on the head there. I look at myself in the mirror sometimes and I think, where'd the young, athletic, in-shape guy go? Who's the old guy in my bathroom brushing his teeth? He looks familiar. Is that my grandpa? I used to be young. I know it's hard, you know. I used to go from a V-shape. Thin waist, broad shoulder, muscles. Had hair too, but that's another story. Now I'm built like an O. I went from a V, from a consonant to a vowel. It took a few years. Are we going to be out of shape from lack of activity? Happens to us all. Use it or lose it. Are any of us on that day, "Lord, I used to be active. I used to be able to do stuff. I used to do all sorts of stuff for you. Back 40 years ago, back when I was young," are any of us going to be out of shape due to lack of activity? Matthew 28, what we call the Great Commission. Jesus, before he ascended back into heaven, he told his apostles, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." We've got plenty that we can be doing just in this verse alone, just in this passage. We got a workout routine that will keep us busy for a long time with just this one verse or this one passage. We can be active if we want to. Philippians 4:9, Paul says, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do." These do. That's an action. That's a verb. Go do it, and the God of peace will be with you. Will be discovered that we have limited vision and only saw the worst in people. That's sometimes easy to put those kind of glasses on, to be able to point out all the faults, only the bad things in the people. And you can't just memorize the eye chart either. You actually have to do it. You just can't quote off the passage. You got to live it.
Amen.
You got to live it. I memorized line 7 in high school because I didn't want to wear glasses. At the football physicals, as we're going by, people are back there looking at the eye chart, and as we're going by, I kept saying, hearing them say, read line 7. Read line 7. Read line 7. So I'm looking at line 7, and I memorized it. It's felopezd. That's how I memorized it. F-E-L-O-P-Z-D. I didn't want to wear glasses. You don't need to wear glasses to take a handoff from the quarterback. Simple. Wound up having to get glasses later. But you know what? There's been times in my life I've had 20/20 vision when it comes to other people. 20/20 vision where other people fall short, where other people didn't match up to my standards. Am I going to face that on my autopsy? Psalm 119, verse 37, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. What great words to live by. Turn me away. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Let's focus on the good. 1 Thessalonians, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. Do we treat each other and see each other the way a father or a mother sees their children? We don't want to be blind or deaf to God's word. Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see but does not see, and ears to hear but does not hear, for they are a rebellious house. 2 Kings 17, yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all of his prophets, every seer saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. Nevertheless, they would not hear, but stiffened their necks like the necks of their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God. I won't listen to it, despite the godly prophets that were sent. I will not listen to God's word. Matthew 11:15, Jesus himself said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. As John Wayne used to say, listen up and listen tight. And last but not least, are we going to be diagnosed with a bad back from carrying all the heavy loads of worry, of guilt, jealousy, anger? You know, there's a guy I used to work with that we used to work out together, and he's worked out a lot longer than me. He is so bow-legged. I don't know if he was bow-legged before he started lifting weights, but he was a world-class power lifter, and he could pick up some heavy objects and do lots of squats and all this stuff. And I just wonder now, he's walking around like he's carried the whole world around. Are we going to have a bad back? I know some of you out there have a bad back from injuries or car wrecks, things like that. Let's not have bad backs from carrying loads of things like worry, guilt. Sin that we've repented from and have repented from, but we're still carrying it with us. Worrying about tomorrow when our Bible class today in James, tomorrow may never come. Carrying things with us around for years. I've seen it for generations of anger towards somebody. You look at some of those feuds that families have, that generations later, all they know is they hate that other family. What caused it? I don't know. But we hate them. And my kids will hate them. Don't know what caused it, but we know they're wrong. Hebrews 12:1, and the lesson is yours. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Every weight. And the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I do not see Olympic athletes getting ready to run the 100-yard dash loaded down with all sorts of stuff. They are streamlined. They are ready to go. They're not carrying the extra loads of anger, worry, guilt of sin, sin itself, trying to run the race of being a Christian that doesn't stop till the day we stop breathing. That day is going to come someday. I don't know when. Every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of God. Let's have the best autopsy we can have. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, baptism is what is one of the things that identifies us to God. That's what starts that walk. Our obedience in baptism and then our obedience in keeping His word. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you're looking for a church home, if you've been visiting different congregations of the Lord's body and would like to work and worship with us, we would love to welcome you and work with you. If you need to repent of sin, if it is something that is private in nature, by all means, repent privately between you and God. If your sin is public, involved others, by all means, repent publicly. Go to that person. Clear things up between them, between God, and don't be carrying that weight, trying to be a servant of God with that guilt of sin. Whatever your need, if you would come forward, let your needs be known, and we will address those while Curtis leads us in the invitation song. Let us stand and sing.